welcome to this week's review show on Under the Abbey Stand, and I get the feeling we're about to serve up a good old-fashioned negative pod, a real throwback episode, you might say, as we take apart the main talking points from Saturday's frustrating and infuriating 1-0 loss at the hands of Cheltenham. I am lucky enough to be blessed with the panel, but the question is, how blessed do they feel to be here? Swindle, how are you doing?
Yeah, all right. It's really deflating, isn't it, when you have to endure a game like that, and it's always, you know, a fairly minging old day weather-wise. And yeah, just looking at the table in preparation for this, it all just feels a bit scary and a bit familiar from last season. So yeah, plenty to dissect, but like you say, sometimes can be better content when we're in the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one way of putting it, I guess.
Apologies to anyone.
No, it's fine. Look, I think it's just one of those pods. The mood's a little bit low. Tom, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, quite flat, to be fair. It was pretty.
It feels like it's going to be interesting to like find the right line here, like, because I think we all feel low and deflated, and it was, but like, you know, what? How far do we go with it? Just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably not as far as the away game. I think do you know what? I think I can't remember my exact wording of it. I said on Thursday, I hope we're not sat here reviewing this on Sunday, having lost like 1-0 again, and been like, oh, well, it wasn't as bad as the away game. But yeah, you know,
I think you said it can't get any worse than that. Because I think what you said.
It wasn't worse.
It wasn't worse. You're right. It wasn't worse. You're so
but
right.
That is, you know, there's quite a broad spectrum. let's put, you know, obviously Cheltenham away at one end, and I don't know, Cheltenham away from a couple of years ago when we won 5-0 at the other. This was sort of somewhere in the middle of those two, probably more towards the away, the crap end, I guess. Do you know what? It's the sort of game that I feel like I've watched hundreds of at the Abbey. Like, I feel like I've seen
so
it just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And all of them seem to have been concentrating in the past like 14 months, interestingly. So, yeah, one of them.
Let's just dive straight into it. I think this is like you say, the feeling of reminiscence from the away game is running pretty hot at the moment. So let's just, Swindle, just your general thoughts on the game, pretty broadly. How are you reflecting on it?
I think it was pretty abject. I just think we were very flat, very uninspired against a team who, you know, are absolutely there for the taking, especially at our place. And, you know, we should have, a lot of the players in the squad were here when we had the away game, obviously, and, you know, could have righted a few wrongs yesterday. And whilst we had a few chances and we created a bit, we weren't anywhere near kind of, we just didn't have enough cutting edge. And I think we've lacking a bit of bottle, in all honesty. And I think we were quite wasteful. And just, yeah, I mean, individual mistakes for goal, but also, yeah, I just don't think we were, you know, near where we need to be. And it just piles the pressure back on the players and piles the pressure back on Neil Harris. And, I think there's not many. I'm really struggling to find any positives, actually, from yesterday. We only conceded one, I suppose. But, yeah, I think it was a really poor watch. And we've just got so many massive games coming up. And now, you know, now the trip to Carlisle on Saturday after a very difficult trip midweek to Pompey is just going to be absolutely huge, and it is must win in my mind, the Carlisle game.
It feels so frustrating, doesn't it, to, like, you know, I've been sat here last week talking about the Shrewsbury game and how positive everyone felt after that, and the way we'd come back in that game, and then we just had this opportunity to extend that good form and to keep it all in our hands. I'm not saying it's not in our hands, but, like, you know, you look at the difficulties of some of the fixtures we've got coming up, and to spurn that opportunity yesterday to come out of it with nothing is so infuriating.
Well, that's very true. But also there was kind of a weird feeling yesterday. I don't know if you, either of you experienced this. There was a little kind of air of arrogance around the fans kind of pre-game. Not arrogance necessarily, but real confidence.
Confidence, yeah.
We haven't had, and maybe it was a bit misguided. But I think a lot of people, myself included, were quite optimistic about our chances of getting all 3 points yesterday. And then to feel like that going into a game and be so flat and so rubbish and lose, you know, to have lost 6 points to this Cheltenham team without scoring. Yeah, it's just
putting in two stinkers like that against this team. I just don't believe that Darragh Clarke and Cheltenham Town are are so much better than us that they that it's on how he set up and how they played. I think it was all on us not affecting the game a lot, which was definitely my frustration. Tom, Neil Harris after the game said, "Today the first goal was going to be key. We've missed four one-on-ones and two absolute sitters in the six-yard box, had a Stonewall penalty turned down, and they've scored from their only shot on target." I suppose, you know, you're trying to think of positives. How much do you agree with that assessment of the game?
I think it's a pretty generous assessment because it sounds like we were absolutely banging the door down, which, you know, we just weren't. Like, this is not what's happening. He's right to talk about missed chances, though, because, you know, particularly in the first half, I think the discussions that we had at half time were like, this has been a pretty difficult watch. But even still, like, you know, obviously Cheltenham have a goal ruled out, which is probably okay.
What are you looking for? Is onside, mate.
Yeah. I was going to say tight, just to kind of be generous with him. He's just simply onside.
He's simply onside, yeah.
But even still, like, you come in at half time, and I was like, we probably should be winning by a couple of goals, to be honest, because, like, we've created a couple of very good chances. And, like, the first one is obviously the one that goes to Lyle Taylor. And you're just thinking, particularly after last Saturday, you're like, oh, early doors, get Lyle Taylor through on goal. That's like ideal situation. You're just thinking, smell blood, goal. Obviously it worked out like that, and then a really, really presentable chance falls to Lancaster, just you know, in my mind, just should have done a bit better, really, and should at least have worked the goalkeeper a bit harder than what he did. But we had a couple of sort of opportunities in the second half. Again, like, they fall to Bon, and you're like, these are the guys that you've brought in to kind of basically just for that situation, really. And obviously couldn't quite tuck even away. Didn't really seem to contact the ball well enough. But I think if the narrative that's trying to be spun is one that we were hammering the door down and we're really unlucky to come away with nothing, I think that's probably a little bit kind. Because I think the fact of the matter is, on both sides, really, you know, obviously Cheltenham get the goal and obviously nick their goal without really creating anything else of note, but it was just a game of such low quality. And I think, like, it kind of mirrors a bit of what we talked about in the Burton game, after the Burton game. Just like, all right, like, if you spin a narrative a very particular way, you can come away from it feeling quite hard done by it. We've not got 6 points out of it. But across those two games, like, we've just not created anywhere near enough the level or quantity or quality of chances to legitimately say that we deserve to win both games. And, you know, that's why we sit here with 1 point from those two. Obviously sandwiching the Shrewsbury win, which is obviously a good result, but yeah, but unable to really assert ourselves on, frankly, quite poor opposition at home, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary, to be honest. I think the most popular question that we've had, unsurprisingly, is on a particular area of the pitch, which I think we should just come to now, because I do think this is crucially where this game was won or lost. I mean, maybe that's harsh because you do talk about the chances that we did manage to create, Tom, and it's true, there is plenty of good ones there. But I do think the Burton game here, the context of the Burton game is crucial, because it's almost like we'd had our warning there in terms of how to set up against a team like this, like Cheltenham at home, where, like, you sort of expected to have a bit more of the ball, which maybe we're not so used to. You expect to sort of, you know, find ways of creating chances yourselves. And we set up with a double pivot of Paul Digby and Jordan Cousins again. Now, we'll talk about them as individual players and their individual quality in a second. But the first thing, Swindle, that I think we should go through is just that as a setup and as a tactic. Geraint and Ryan have both asked, and a bunch of people have actually asked, like, why do we start a double pivot at Digby and Cousins in a game like this? Ryan said, like, why play two defensive CDMs at home to Cheltenham? Should May have featured? I suppose you could add Thomas in there. You could even pop Lancaster in there. Do you think that's, I mean, can you see any explanation for why you'd play Digby and Cousins in a game like this?
I think both Mark Bonner and Neil Harris are inclined to trust experience when it comes to games, regardless of kind of setup potentially. I think that might be why they kind of stick with them. You know, on the face of it, Cousins, you know, has got great experience and is a great player and should be making a difference in games like that, regardless of the kind of the setup of, you know, teams generally set up in their strongest kind of, you know, formation, which is, you know, kind of sensible from a manager. But yeah, I think, and also I still think we're, you know, we're not blessed with personnel. I hear what you're saying about being able to play a bit of a different system, but, you know, I feel like he trusts them. And I think Digby will kind of always just walk into the team with the current personnel that we've got, actually. It kind of like, it's usually him and one other, and it's kind of, yeah, that kind of actually limits us in a weird way, even though he's very reliable. And yeah, I think we're also lacking in confidence. You know, Jack Lancaster, for example, you know, I think yesterday was playing like an unconfident player. And, you know, I think maybe they want to be a bit cautious with the formation, and that's why they're doing it. But yeah, it's inviting pressure and it's losing its games.
It's the cautiousness that frustrates me though a bit, because I'm not talking about going hell for leather. I'm just saying one of those two, you've got two sort of very similar profiles of footballers there in Cousins and Digby. They're sort of quite big, quite slow, quite lumbering. They break the play up, big tackles, important players. Don't get me wrong. Like there'll be games where playing both of them next to each other makes loads more sense, like Tuesday, for example. But I just understand after Burton, you've seen how we struggled to create chances to win the game. Then you set up the same way against Cheltenham and take 66 minutes to change it when it was obvious about 10 minutes in to us anyway. We were all saying it, that like something's got to give here. You need to have a bit of a spark in the middle. Tom, just sort of on that same topic, really, James asks, do you think the issues is in not being able to control midfield are personnel or systematic, or, you know, probably a bit of both, as I'm sure you're going to say. But it seems that every time we've faced a midfield three since we've been promoted to League One, we've always struggled. What's your thoughts on central midfield?
Well, I don't see it as being personnel in terms of the players we've got available to us just not being good enough. Because, like, you know, Digby's done it at this level. Cousins obviously played a lot of games in the level above. But I think, like, it's certainly fair to say that it is their individual performances that have let us down really big time. I mean, the centre mids were atrocious against Cheltenham. They weren't good at Burton. Like, they were really... And it's the same sort of things. And it's one of those where you do find yourself questioning, like, well, like, what did you expect to change? Like, it's so slow. It's really passive. And I think I kind of would maintain what I said when we discussed it just a couple of weeks ago, which was like, I don't really necessarily have in principle a problem with playing this formation and in this setup, but like the players that are in it just have to do better. They just got to show a bit more. Like, you know, Digby's a limited footballer in some senses. He has his function in a team, and I get that, and I get that he's been a big part of it. But I think if, like, you're expected to have most of the ball, you just want someone who's better at football in one of those roles. And then, like, you look at Cousins next to him, and it's not the first time he's put in like a 1 or 2 out of 10 level performance. I mean, I was just watching the highlights back there, and like, obviously he gets done for the goal. He's just caught in possession. It's just lazy, really lazy play. And then he does it again, like 10 minutes later. And it's like, if the goal isn't the warning shot for you to really pull your finger out and get with the game, then what can be? And I guess the concern with Cousins is that for all the pedigree that he's got and all the experience he had at a higher level, what we've seen has just been really underwhelming so far overall. And, you know, you're just looking for your players in that position just to be able to recycle the ball quite quickly, just move it just a bit faster. And, you know, whether it's a lack of ability or whether it's just a lack of cohesion, like, they're just not able to do it. And I think that's the bit of the pitch that kind of lost us the game, to be honest. I mean, you know, obviously their goal and I think it's a crucial reason why we didn't take more points from the Burton game. I think there's a lot of similarities between those two. Just the difference is Burton obviously went down to 10, therefore there wasn't really any emphasis on attacking, whereas Cheltenham obviously felt they could kind of smell blood a little bit. I just thought that area of the pitch was so disappointing. It's like, would it be all right just to sacrifice one of those two, probably Digby, maybe Cousins because of the level of his performance of late, and just put like Lancaster in there? Like, I get this a bit deeper than what you'd expect, but if you're looking for someone to try and get on the front foot and try and kind of unpick a lock, like, he's probably your guy. Paul Digby's not, like, frankly. Yeah.
I totally agree, Tom. And, really frustrating. I was just going to pick up on what you said there, that, like, you know, if you play Lancaster or Thomas in there, why is it that against Burton, like you said, I think that this is the crucial context, because we've had this situation 2 weeks ago when we talked about this afterwards, playing a double pivot, a lack of creativity, a lack of the sentiments, being able to control games, especially going forward, move the ball quicker, blah, 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 blah. And then we do it again. like that. Does Harris actually have to take a little bit of blame for how we set us up yesterday for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, he picks a team, right, and he sets them up in sort of whatever tactical approach he decides is best, and we lost the game. So like that tells its own story. But just the eye test like alone just tells you that it just wasn't working. And I think it was pretty clear it wasn't working. I guess we'll probably come on to like how he tried to kind of impact the game, which looked a bit weird at the end. But yeah, I think yeah, absolutely. Like there's you know, the buck for these things does stop with a manager. And it's just a bit weird, really, because I get like line up with these two against, well, in the games we've got upcoming, but I just think like a home game against like a Cheltenham, like you kind of just need to look at what you can do to them a little bit more and not worry so much on what they might be able to do to you. And yeah, I mean, I guess just to, yeah, I don't know. Like I feel like I'm just kind of repeating myself a lot from what we said before, really, because funnily enough, it's the same players and it's resulted in exactly the same thing. And I just think Cousins has to earn his money a bit more, because make no mistake, like he was appalling against Burton and he was atrocious against Cheltenham, really bad. Mm. Like everything he did was just off, getting beaten to like bouncing balls, getting caught in possession, misplacing passes, not using the ball quick enough. Like these are things that you don't expect of a guy who's played like 200 odd games in the Championship, dropping down a level essentially, and he's looked, yeah, well off it.
Really off it. Actually, I was just about to come on to Cousins, Swindle. I'll let you have a say on that as well. Alex has asked, notwithstanding his absolute stinker yesterday, is Jordan Cousins becoming a bit of an underwhelming signing more generally? Big reputation and injury prone, but we were virtually short of quality when he made it onto the pitch. Has he actually delivered that on the whole? Like for me, I think like the Burton game again is like you think, okay, you put in a, every player's allowed to have a day off, right? You know, like bad games are going to happen at every level. That's just, you know, bad day. You think that was Burton, right? And you think he probably sets his standards so high that you think, well, that's that one out of the way almost, right? Like he's going to, he has to up his game because his own standards must be so high. Well, you'd think. And then he puts that performance in yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always really careful on the pod, and I think we all are, about not digging people out and not like personally attacking people.
Now I'm going to dig the out of him, mate. That's what...
but he was, yeah, he was.
That's pretty generous, that Swindle, as well. Yeah. Like, I've been pretty quiet until now, but I'll probably say that my track record of digging out players is probably not so strong.
And managers, don't forget managers as well.
Oh, yeah. but yeah, I'm going to, yeah, it was really rubbish, like a really bad performance, and one that I imagine, I hope, has affected him post-game. I hope he's felt that, because he needs to pick the performance back up. I think there's a few things that I want to say about that position, and I wonder if one of them is he's now adjusting to playing with worse players, and I think not making his bouncing balls and stuff is, there's no excuse. It's, you know, it's a lack of a quality performance, and it's probably... hopefully just a flash in the pan. But no, I don't think we've seen anywhere near the best of him. I think we've seen flashes of kind of, you know, what he could bring, but, you know, not at all. And I think, I wonder if, I really don't want to say this, but I wonder if he's a little bit lazy, and yeah, kind of here, but not putting his all in potentially, because it just seemed like that. Like you say, the Burton performance could have been, you know, an off day, but to have another one so soon after it, it's disappointing. I'm sure he's disappointed, don't get me wrong. So hopefully, you know, whether it be Pompey or Carlisle, he can have a bounce back and really, you know, show the fans what he can do, because he needs to at the moment, and it won't be long before, you know, if we get sucked into that battle down there, and, you know, lose to Pompey, lose to Carlisle, it won't be long before inevitably some of the fans get on the players' backs. And, you know, if you're lacking players with confidence in there, and some arguably with the right ability in certain situations, then, you know, we're going to be looking at a relegation battle before long. And I don't want to be too extreme, but yeah, it's a big loss. And to see a performance like that, it's just so disappointing, you know, just having to endure that, in all honesty. And I'm not just saying Cousins, the whole team yesterday, it was just, you know, I didn't really want to be there.
No, I think it got a pretty bad reception, right, from people, yeah, as well. I think people,
absolutely deserved, I'm afraid. Like, people, yeah, pay money, their hard-earned money, to go to these games, to follow the team home and away, or whatever you do. And yeah, you're allowed to be disappointed when they play like that, to be honest.
God, take 0 points from Cheltenham home and away. No goals. That is bad. We are only 4 points off the drop, by the way. So yep. I know that this time last week we were very positive, and as we should have been, because I think we had two home games coming up that we sort of fancied ourselves in to take something from both of them. Obviously, one of them didn't end up happening, but it's sort of been an odd week in that sense. But Cousins. Yeah, I think he's got to up it. I hate. I know exactly what you're saying about the sort of lack of fight, and it was something that a lot of people around me were mentioning yesterday. It feels, you know, it feels like early in the season, and like we're in too good a spot to be talking about lack of fight, but it's hard not to mention it when you see that sort of performance.
It is. And also another thing that I was thinking about yesterday, kind of staring into the abyss as, you know, the rain started to fall at on Newmarket Road. I was thinking we've been doing this podcast, you know, for about 5 years, and really our trajectory up until last season was kind of, you know, an upwards gradient on a graph, and then kind of dropped off a cliff for a lot of last season. And when we're having to navigate times like this where we're pretty rubbish, you know, it sounds like we're repeating ourselves, and maybe, you know, maybe targeting certain people because we have to mention them when they're having repeatedly bad performances. But when players kind of need to be scrutinised when they're playing week in, week out, and Harris will obviously do that in a more productive, you know, constructive way. But fans are really allowed to feel, you know, when someone's have made a performance like that, they are allowed to feel disappointed and show it, I think.
I agree. Also, you know, I'd say, people have often said, like, oh, you know, you guys, you're so up when we win, so down when we lose. It's like, well, we're reacting to the last game. I mean, what do you want us to do? Like,
this is real.
In general, we're still in a pretty good position, but I just think our February looks really hard. And I think if it goes the way that the sort of the table says those games are going to go, then all of a sudden we're going to be in a tough spot in March, which I think is a frustration of not capitalising on games like yesterday when it was sort of in our own hands to do so. Let's talk about how he tried to save the game. Tom, you mentioned it slightly earlier. The subs seemed strange. They seemed, it's not only the actual subs, but he had them ready, stripped off a few minutes before their goal, didn't do them straight away. Then they scored and then didn't do them for 5 minutes and then added one. What did you make of it? I mean, Geraint said, did anyone else think the subs were a bit odd? Take off Liam Bennett, put on Rossi. And then he says, yeah, didn't Neil just go on about a backup for Philly and Bennett in the shape of Gibbons, but then he didn't put him on?
Yeah, it all looked a bit weird. You know, in the away game at Cheltenham, like Bonner did something really similar, which was basically just to chuck a load of attackers on and just see what happens. And the shape looked a bit of a mess. It hadn't been worked on. And it was really similar on Saturday, really. I find a couple of the people that he brought off, I thought were a little questionable. I think Lancaster coming off was a little harsh on him, I think. And he's obviously a player who's coming for no end of criticism in sort of weeks and months gone by. But I thought he was the one that actually looked quite bright. He was the one that actually looked like he might do something, or at least had the intention of trying to do something. And he came off while Cousins inexplicably played out the rest of the 90 minutes, which was frankly remarkable viewing, to be honest. And then obviously talking about Liam Bennett coming off, like, okay, fine, like he might not have been having the impact that we might like in the forward part of the pitch, but then like you've got Gibbons sat on the bench. I'm just thinking, like, you know, you've just signed this guy to be like your alternative in case Bennett's not quite on it, and he's sat on the bench while Rossi is kind of like, there's a moment in the, you know, towards the end of the second half while we're sort of chasing a goal where like Rossi's like trying to like maraud down the right hand touchline. It's like, just doesn't really look right. Like it all looks a bit off. And I think the frustration is that the subs that were made, I agree about the timing of them. It was a little bit weird just because they were all already ready. And then it was like, we just sort of waited for a few minutes in between. But I think the frustrating thing is that like, when they all came on the pitch, like the sort of way we were playing, well, the way we were trying to play, just looked a bit alien. It looked like these guys hadn't really seen it, hadn't really kind of worked it out exactly what that shape should look like, exactly how it should function. And yeah, obviously the end result is pretty clear. It's obviously resulted in us not being able to score a goal despite having a couple of okay sort of half chances with, you know, where Bond maybe should do better on at least one of them. So yeah, the subs are a little bit weird. I have to say, like, feels a little bit weird to me that May didn't get on the pitch at all.
The Liam Bennett one I find really odd, because you'd think of all the defenders that we've got on the pitch, the one, you know, we've sat here and talked about maybe some deficiencies in his defending, and maybe he's a bit naive and, you know, a bit of time out of the squad defensively. But going forward, I think it's like almost indisputable that he's the one player that can dig a cross out of nowhere, that can beat his man, that was, you know, such an attacking fullback. It feels like the exact sort of player you want in that situation when you should have a lot of the ball, when you're trying to open a chance up from out wide. I just found it really odd. Swindled Lancaster was subbed again, as Tom's mentioned. As Tom says, I thought we had a pretty good game, actually. Ryan's asked, why was he subbed? Is there an attitude problem, as he was always subbed under Bonner too? And Josh asked, not exactly a question, but I'd love to hear your views on Lancaster. I thought he played well yesterday and shouldn't have been pulled off. Seems to be dividing the fan base a bit lately. I think that last bit's probably true. What did you make of it? Because it seemed like of all the attackers, him and Lyle Taylor were the two that were actually doing anything.
I mean, Ryan's question certainly is a good one. And there may be an attitude problem. Who knows? It does seem odd. You know, he doesn't seem to be able to kind of consistently get a start in running the team. And like you say, will more often than not get subbed. It doesn't feel like stamina is the issue there. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure. But he comes under a lot of criticism, you know, as does James Brophy as well, from United fans. Another one who puts in a lot of effort and without end product sometimes. I feel like he's a confidence player who's not got confidence, and I've said this for quite a lot of the season. You know, in flashes he's brilliant, and but I can understand why people get frustrated watching him. But yeah, yesterday I think the whole situation around substitutes that you guys have summed up really well. I don't really understand. I don't know if. I mean, it honestly felt like there had like been a breakdown of communication somewhere. Mm. It just didn't make sense. But anyway, I mean, you know, he did what he did, and it failed. And ultimately, we've lost 6 points to Cheltenham in a season. We can't really afford to lose them. But yeah, Lancaster, it may be looking ahead to Bolton even. And Pompey, sorry, even given that we've got Tuesday, Saturday again. After, you know, a non-starter on Tuesday. But yeah, completely bizarre. I don't know why you would take off kind of one of your biggest threats really ever. If you've got a player having a good game, short of wanting to preserve that player, leave them on, you know. Yeah. Especially if you put a player like him who's not always firing on all cylinders, just let him, you know, let him have a go. The longer the game went on, you know, just we looked less likely to score, I think, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, there'll be people shouting at their headphones or whatever, at their radios, whatever they're listening to this on, saying, but, you know, having said all of this, those subs, we did create two big chances. From memory, the second one is much better than the first. The first one sort of looks like it's slightly behind him, and it's a bit of a tougher one to sort of guide, but the second one looks pretty gilt-edged. Tom, Jamie's asked, following on from our best ever debuts chat, where would Bond rank in the worst ever debuts? I mean, to be fair, not his debut, because he did come on against Shrewsbury, but I guess home debuts. If you've got any up your sleeve, Jordan Jones, obviously.
That's a bit harsh, I think.
I think it's a little bit harsh as well.
Not on Jones, let's be fair.
No, Jones is the worst.
That was bad.
Yeah. Jones is getting a mention every pod now, by the way.
he will have literally no idea the impact he's had on us.
Yeah.
it'll be like, wow, they're still talking about me now. Like,
yeah.
Like 45 minutes from getting on for a decade ago. That's why we're still talking about it. I mean, look, Bond, I guess, again, like, if I'm being kind, I think I'm saying that at least he's in the right areas, because God knows we've had strikers over the years that just don't ever look like they're going to score. And at least Bond's in the sort of right place. I think you're right. The second one just doesn't seem to connect with the ball properly. And, you know, he'll obviously be frustrated with that, because I think he would back himself to be the sort of player who is a bit more instinctive and can take chances like that. So, yeah, obviously not ideal. But, you know, if it gets a couple of chances on another day, one of them probably sneaks in. And we're probably talking about 2 points dropped, one gained, I guess.
To have another positive also, I mean, I think they were both set up by Taylor. So just to see that little connection potentially forming, if there's a way of putting both of them on the pitch at the same time, it is interesting as well. So, yeah, not great. And I'm not saying Bonds cost us 2 points, 3 points. But it's however many bloody points you get now. But yeah, look, it's just frustrating. I think we should move on, because I think we've done a pretty good summary there. Don't play a double pivot of Jordan Cousins and Paul Digby, and don't make mental subs that no one, especially the players, know what formation they're playing in. Let's look ahead to Tuesday, the small matter of league leaders at Portsmouth away from home. So that's a good one to follow this up with. Let's hear from Pompey Podcast to get a bit of a preview on them.
Right then, news fans, I'm joined by Ian Chiverton, who's from the Pompey Women's Blogs YouTube channel. Also season ticket holder for the men too. Ian, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Brilliant. Good to speak to you. And quite a good time to be a Pompey fan at the moment. Sitting pretty at the top of the table, 6 points clear of Derby. How's the season been so far?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, we weren't sure what to expect with John Messina in his first manager's role. So we went into it with a bit of an open mind, not really sure. But I think most of us were just assuming maybe we'd scrape fifth or sixth if we were lucky, and we were probably going to be happy with that. But to be sat top after 32 games is, well, yeah, a dream come true, really. And we've been in this position before under Kenny Jackett, and we managed to mess that up. So I think we're just keeping our fingers crossed that we can actually see it over the line.
Absolutely. Well, good result yesterday, taking a trip up to Carlisle, one of the longest trips in the in the Football League, that one, a 1-0 victory at Carlisle, and a difficult journey to do, and an important win, even though it was top versus bottom.
Yeah, it was a really big win. You get to this point in the season, you just need to grind out the wins. It doesn't matter how they come. It doesn't matter what the scoreline is. So, we were just happy to get the 1-0 win and just get away from there, to be honest. It was a really tight game. It just needed that one piece of quality. I think I literally tweeted at half time, like, you just need this one bit of quality to open this lot up, and we managed to find that. Ultimately 3 points is 3 points. So
absolutely, yeah, a really important victory, and like you say, the manner of them matters less now. A very interesting one. Paddy Lane with the winner. If you were pushed to pick out a couple of players for who've been good this season, and ones for us to watch out for, who would you go for?
Yeah, I think we've had a couple of standout players. I mean, Pack is our sort of leader, captain, central midfielder. He had a spell out injured, but we've really, really noticed him back in the team since he's returned. He's been key for us in the last few games. Paddy Lane is also having a superb second half to the season. I was quite critical of him in the first half because he got so much of the ball, but not a lot of end product for how much of the ball he used to get. And he's really switched that around in the second half of the season. And obviously then you got Bishop, who is our source of goals for so often in the season. So I know you asked for two, but really those three, I think from now to the end of the season, if we're going to score enough goals to win the league or finish second, I don't care which one we do, honestly don't. Those three, Pack, Lane and Bishop, are going to be key to it.
Absolutely. Interesting to see Colby Bishop kind of famous in the league for being prolific this season. So, yeah, that's a concern for United. It's setting up in a kind of 4-2-3-1 formation is what it looks like on paper. And I guess is that how you guys usually set up?
Yeah, that's the only way we play. Yeah. Being a bit critical of Messina at times, where we're a bit of a one-trick pony, because Bishop can have a habit of getting extremely isolated up there on his own. And if the wingers aren't firing in the three behind him, if the wingers aren't firing, we can't do anything. We literally don't know how to score. And that actually happened at your place. I went to the game up at your place, and to be honest, we were really lucky to come away with a point. Very, very lucky. It was backs against the wall. So, that is the formation. We will be playing that formation on Tuesday night. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. Just to always do an ex-player watch from our point of view. Will Norris in goal. How do you guys find him? Do you rate him as a goalkeeper?
Yeah, he's done all right. To be fair, he's had a fairly quiet season because our back line is actually very, very good. And he hasn't had a huge amount to do. There have been a couple of big bloopers in there. But if a goalie was capable of going 46 games without making a mistake, then he wouldn't be in League One, would he? So yeah. You've got to accept that. So Yeah, no, he's actually been decent. I like him. He's pretty steady, good in the air, dominates the air. So, yeah, no, solid player.
Brilliant. So, yeah, looking towards the game then, obviously Tuesday night under the lights. How do you see the game going? What's your prediction and of scoreline and what the result will be?
Well, it all depends on how we start. So at home, under that threatened crowd, it can be absolutely rocking on a Tuesday night. Like, seriously, it makes a huge difference. But that all depends how we start the game. And Mesinho knows that. So he's going to, I've no doubt that we are going to come out 100 miles an hour right from the off, because that's, he knows we've got to get an early goal to get the crowd up. So if we do that and we manage to get a goal, I mean, it could end up being 2-3 nil, but If you go hold out till half time, it's probably going to be like a tight 1-0. It all depends how it normally comes down to how well teams can hold out against us in the first 45 minutes at home. So, yeah, I think I'll just go down the middle. I'll go for a 2-0 Pompey win.
Yeah, I went 4-0 on our podcast. I think it could be a bit of a difficult day out for us. It's been a tough season, and Saturday was pretty poor from our point of view. So yeah, I'm a little bit on the pessimistic side. But listen,
you look so good in the home game though. When we went up there, you look so solid, and you were so unlucky. So yeah, I'm surprised at that. Because,
well, there's hope.
Say,
for sure.
You look good.
But it's been a difficult one, and yeah, I think we're a bit stung from last season. But listen, hopefully after Tuesday, you guys push on and have a really good end to the season. It'd be really nice to see you guys go up. And just listen, thank you for joining us, Ian. It's been brilliant.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much for that, Swindle. top of the league away, eh? How's everyone feeling about that?
At least it's only down the road.
Yeah. On Tuesday night in Feb.
I just, I mean, of course we're going to go over there and win 1-0. You know, that of course we all know that's going to happen. But no, it really could be, it could be a bit of a bloodbath. They're pretty free scoring, and they don't love conceding goals either. So it's a good, good recipe for being top of the league. I feel fairly pessimistic all of a sudden, but just about everything football wise. After going into yesterday, kind of strutting down Newmarket Road, rubbing my hands, looking at the table, and now suddenly it all looks a bit bleak. And yeah, it's going to be a really tough trip. You know, that they're top for a reason. You know, they're 6 points clear, and a team down the road are contriving to rule themselves out of any sort of promotion this season. So yeah, Pompey have taken advantage of that, as have other teams around them, and they're on a great run as well. So yeah, it really is just the worst time to be playing them. They want to kind of extend their lead at the top of the table. And I feel like, sadly, and I don't want to be, too down in the mouth, I feel like they probably will.
They've, just looking at the home and away tables for League One, they're the third best home form. Played 15, won 9, drawn 4, lost 2, 31 points. Our away form is 22nd in the league. 1-2, drawn 4, 10 points.
I predicted that we'd pick up more points on the road than at home at the start of the season.
Brilliant.
That was my outlandish prediction. So there you go. You can have that one.
Excellent. Looking forward to reviewing them as per usual at the end of the season. Tom, how are you feeling about this, mate?
I think it's pretty hard to get anything out of it, to be honest with you, to answer
really?
The question quite directly.
Why'd you say that, mate?
for all of the above, I think. Yeah. If I'm trying to be positive, I would probably say that we followed up the Cheltenham away game, very, very disappointing 1-0 loss, with a very, very good point against Pompey. Can we do the same this time? Remains to be seen, but probably not. it's always a daunting prospect, isn't it? Like, Pompey away is, a place we traditionally, except for one example a couple of years back now, just haven't turned up at really at all. I'd like to think we can go there and give them a bit more of a game than we have done in the past. But this is where, like, the failure to just like beat Cheltenham or get something from that game or beat Burton or whatever, this is where it kind of comes back to bite you a little bit. And this is where it just makes the task seem just a bit more daunting, because, like, you know, if we'd have beaten Cheltenham on Saturday, given results elsewhere, I know the butterfly effect and all that means it doesn't necessarily go exactly as it should do, but you know, you're potentially 7 points clear of the drop. You're potentially 13 clear of Fleetwood, 15 clear of Carlisle, Cheltenham and 18 clear of Carlisle. And you're like, don't worry about top of the league away. Let's just see what happens and move on to Saturday, basically. Whereas now it kind of feels like we do need to be getting something just to kind of keep us ticking over a little bit. So, yeah, can't see us get anything, but think we might need to.
The mad thing about this division, though, you know, is that, like, crazier things have happened. Like, you see teams, like, you see these results, right? Like, Pompey, at the start of the season, the only team I think they dropped points against, maybe it's just at home, was Cheltenham, when Cheltenham hadn't scored in their first 11 games, obviously, until they played us. So I will say, you know, Pompey, when in their last 10 at home, the two that they've lost, they have lost them, like, convincingly, 3-0 and 4-0. So, granted, it was Orient and Blackpool that beat them both times. But I'm just saying that, you know, if maybe there's a bit of a weakness there, that if you go one up, you can we can pounce on it. But maybe I'm looking at it way too positively. Swindle, just sort of on the sort of importance of the game, Harry and Joe have both asked, given the rest of the fixtures we have, is 2 points from Burton, Exeter and Cheltenham enough for us to play League One football next season? It's quite a big question, but I suppose sort of going off what Tom says, it's like, do we need to be getting something on Tuesday, really?
I think we need to be aiming to, and that might sound like a really stupid kind of response to that, but no, I think we should be, you know, I think we should be going there really trying to play for a draw, if I'm honest. You know, I think we should be, or at least grinding the game out, bringing them down to our level. I think Colby Bishop will be looking at our back line and rubbing his hands and thinking about into his, you know, goal tally, which is pretty impressive already this season. I think given that we know the trip to Carlisle is another absolute trek, and, you know, they're still fighting whilst they've lost five on the bounce. I think, you know, they're still behind the manager and the players to a point. So I think they'll be up for it, and they'll probably see us there for the taking. They'll look at the results of, like, the Cheltenhams and, you know, and Exeter and et cetera, and think, yeah, well, if those teams can do it, so can we. So we could really kind of, just send out a bit of a signal by getting something from Tuesday to Carlisle that we're going to make the game a handful, because they'll be looking at Saturday's game and thinking, we're very beatable, which in all honesty, we are at times. So, yeah, I think a point on Tuesday and three on Saturday and everyone will be happy clapping again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think doing something on Tuesday would be huge, because I think if you look at our February, Pompey away, Carlisle away, like you mentioned, Bolton home, Posh at home, Stevenage away, it's like, oh God, got to get points somewhere. Like, you just got to consider every game a huge opportunity to get points. Given what you're saying there about stifling it up and sort of clogging the game up a bit, how would you line up? Would you, having had a whole conversation about Digby and Cousins,
pivot, absolutely, yeah. 100% Digby, Cousins. I probably would, to be honest. I mean, you can never really tell, and it's not necessarily like Bonner or Harris. You can never tell what Cambridge do midweek, and they can actually mix it up kind of out the blue. So, you know, you might see Thomas coming in, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw certainly the same back seven, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Think he might start the same team that was supposed to start against Bolton, with Thomas in instead of Kachunga, so not like a 9.5, but maybe someone slightly deeper. So you've got another man a little bit deeper when you're out of possession, and then Kachunga and Kaiko and Taylor up front. That would be my guess. Tom, any advances on that?
Yeah, I think the midfield will go from being sort of two behind a 10 or 9.5, whatever, however you want to call it, and more of a three. Mm-hmm. In there, Cousins probably sitting off very deep if he plays again, that is. I'm not expecting like surgery. I'm not expecting him to kind of do anything like vastly different than what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. I don't think his reaction to the Cheltenham loss will be to totally rip it up and go again. I think like the Bolton game and like one or two that preceded it, like, it's okay just to kind of focus on what Pompey can do to us and try and limit that, I think. And what we can do to them is maybe a bit of an afterthought in some ways. Keep the clean sheet, get the platform and build on it.
What's the score prediction?
Swindle, you go first, mate.
4-0 Pompey.
4-0 Pompey. Right. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry to do it.
I'm going to give you a positive one. I think we're going to get a point out of it. I think it's going to be 1-1. I think they're going to score a really, really late equaliser, and the discussion is going to be, are you actually a bit gutted that we didn't hold out for all three? But is it a good point? So I'm going to keep it positive. I've just got a feeling we might do something. I think you look at every time we put in a poor performance, I think we've always bounced back to it, bounced back really well. Burton at home, we then went to Shrewsbury and won. Orin at home in the league, we then beat Fleetwood at home after that, and they've been our two worst performances up to now. So I think Harris is pretty good at getting them to bounce back, even at the league leaders, and maybe there's a bit of complacency involved or something. Tom, go on, predict a win. Give us a full house.
No. Oh dear. My little Tuesday night trip down to the seaside in what is presumably going to be quite a wet day. Nah, it's too much of a stretch to me to go from seeing what we've seen against Cheltenham to going, yeah, we'll go and do top of the league away from home. It's just there's too much of a gap in between. So no, I'll probably go for a hard fought but ultimately disappointing loss, I think.
2-1 then, something like that.
Riley.
6-0.
6-0.
We'll come out of it. Oh, we've really gave him a game there.
All right, well, we shall see. We'll be back on Thursday for the preview show. Tom, I just want to end with one question that we got from Michael. Obviously, everyone, thank you so much for your questions. Always really, really helpful and insightful to see what you guys want us to have a chat about. This one's great. One man, one big positive of Saturday is Harrison Dunk being back at the Abbey, I guess, just pictured before the game. Michael's asked, when will Harrison Dunk be fit enough to save us again, Tom?
Last four games, four goals.
All he needs.
Actually, no. That's what it'll be.
Excellent. All right, Swindle, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you very much.
Tom, see you at Pratt Park on Tuesday, mate.
Yeah, we'll do.